here we are.
We sure are, and so are you.
I keep forgetting we have, like, a pre-recorded thing.
We've all come together to learn the wonders as a family. Of antiques. What? No.
We're a family.
Oh.
With you. You're my family.
We're your family now. Welcome to the Juggalo clan.
Yeah, I'm your dad. So, Ken, what are we talking about today?
So, in our previous episodes on jadeite and a little bit on depression glass, we mentioned that sometimes antiques are not as old as people would like you to believe.
Because they're not antiques.
Because they're
the items we're talking about are patently not antiques, but they're masquerading as antiques.
We're talking about antiques fraud.
A criminal crime.
Specifically in glassware. So it's a very small criminal crime.
Are you ready to learn?
I am so ready.
About chemistry?
What?
I mean, I'm going to skim over a lot of it.
I mean, I have literally never taken a chemistry class in my life.
Well, too bad, because glass is chemistry.
No.
Yeah, they got you. They got you there.
No.
So glass, it's good. It's hard. Goes ping when you flick it. But is it lying to you?
Yes.
Always. Fucking throw your glass out the window. It's over. Antiques is over. We're all done. Glass comes in many colors. We're all aware of that. Different colors indicate different levels of rarity and value for the most part. But what you didn't know is you can fake those colors.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Big faker.
No. Don't fake the glass.
I'm gonna fake the glass.
No. How?
Let me tell you. So glass, especially antique glass, especially glass prior to mid-1800s, let's say.
That's very old glass.
Yeah. I mean, and this isn't, like, stop applying to, like, things past the 1800s, but, like, we're talking about, like, chemical loads. Clear glass doesn't start that way. When you're making glass, well, it can, but it's not common, especially when you're talking about mass production. When you're making glass, iron oxides tend to taint it, which gives you the blue color you probably associate with antique glass most frequently. That, like, kind of, like, aqua tint. That's just how glass be coming looking out when it is loaded with a bunch of heavy metals. Usually, when you want to achieve a perfect clear, you would add manganese dioxide. Manganese dioxide would overrule all sorts of things and create that perfect lit clear look. Manganese dioxide reacts to radiation. Radiation comes from the sun. So what you see in a lot of clear glass, when it's left out in the sun in any capacity, and you see a lot of people have this shit like on their fucking windowsills or whatever, it starts to turn purple. This is the manganese dioxide breaking down due to the solar radiation. Like a lot of things do. Paper.
Skin.
Humans. Meat. Don't fall for fake colored meat either.
That's another episode.
That's a different...
Our antique meats episode.
Antique meats. It's an acquired taste. When glass is exposed to radiation this way, and this is a really helpful way to determine old glass, if you know what the fuck you're looking for. Which thing you're just going to hear over and over again on this podcast. It attains this really faint purple tint. And I mean faint. It's kind of hard sometimes to convince people that it's there. But you can turn it and you see that the glass is very faintly purple. And sometimes it's more obvious depending on how old or how exposed to the sun it's been. And a lot of people consider this desirable because it's like a sure fact of age. Unfortunately, the sun isn't the only place to break down manganese.
Remember back in the jadeite and depression glass episodes when we told you not to expose your antique glassware to modern appliances?
Yes.
This is one of those reasons.
I do, because I told you.
Yeah.
One of those reasons is that all the various chemical things that can happen to glass with your modern appliances are going to happen chemically. I'm not a chemistry guy, but believe me on this. If you change the chemistry of the glass, you change the color, you change the value. Like, all sorts of bad shit can happen to glass. Like, in dishwashers, it tends to add those iron oxides back in and turn it blue. That don't see that happen very often. Most of the time, it breaks before you see that. Because they're not made for that shit. But most frequently, what you get is if you microwave old clear glass, it turns fucking colors.
Like, what kind of colors?
Usually purple, but it depends very heavily on how much manganese is present and other impurities. I have seen some beautiful artificially colored glasses. Like, a purple to orange sort of taper. Umber, as the kids say these days. People, unfortunately, use this to fake aged glass.
So, you take new glass, you chuck
shitty
it in
shitty new glass. It's gotta be full of impurities.
Alright, you take garbage glass, you throw it in the microwave for, like, a minute, and if you don't get, like, an explosion of shards, you do get fun-colored glass that you can point at and say, look, it old, money dollars, please.
And it's actually more nefarious than that. If you microwave it for a long time and it doesn't explode, which some of the quality glasses won't, you get what I saw on one website referred to as fantastical colors of glass, which is purples that frankly didn't exist. Purple glass is considered one of the rarest kinds of glass. Mixing the pigments for purple glass in any time before, I want to say the 70s, was fucking hard. So you don't see a shit ton of it, and when you do, it's generally considered, like, really fucking valuable. You know, you do see a shit ton of Fenton, but most of that stuff is from the 70s. People will fake that, especially in, and I fucking shit you not, glass insulators. And now, glass insulators are a huge collectible. Everyone, they love them. I've met so many people who collect glass insulators. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look outside, there's probably one on the power pole outside your house. They still use them.
It's like a, I'm trying to describe its appearance without getting...
blue?
Yeah. Because I sold these for many years before I realized what they actually were.
I mean, like, hey, let's cover your ears if you're under 18. What did you think they were?
They look like butt plugs. They look exactly like glass butt plugs.
This is, like, I expected the first thing that you would mistake for a butt plug to be a fid, but...
no, like, they look...
because I went to a convention, and I won't talk too much about which one it was, where they were literally selling fids as butt plugs.
I would assume a fid was just a straight-up dildo, but anyway... insulators look exactly like fist-sized glass butt plugs.
Or a bell end if you're in the England. Because I would describe them as being bell-shaped.
Yes.
What they're used is to insulate parts of transformers from electricity because glass isn't a conductor.
They've even got like the safety rim on the edge to keep it from like getting sucked in.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, no. Much like microwaves, antique glass was not designed to go in your butt. Yeah, don't put it in your butt.
It's not tempered or made the same way as stuff made to go in your butt that's glass. Just go spring for the fucking stuff that's supposed to be there.
That's a whole nother episode. But so insulate. Often fraudulent?
Often fraudulent. One of the interesting things about fraudulent retinting of glass with insulators is that people will untint them. So there were colors of insulators that were considered very desirable that almost never existed because of the general wear and tear. They were outside for most of their lives, so a lot of them turned very purple. But there used to be these really nice amber colors or oranges, warm colors like that. People will actually reverse the process through microwaving them to return them to their original color, which strips them of all value. It's basically a lie. It's not considered their factory appearance. But they want you to believe that this is like new old stock, that it never saw the light of an electric pole and didn't end up, you know, becoming solarized. And the crazy thing is, when I say valuable insulators, it's not very. And the idea that there are people out there fucking faking this shit out is because we're not talking thousands of dollars.
We're talking like 20?
Yeah, like 20s if you're lucky. I sell most of them for like a dollar. Again, it's an industrial thing. There's tons of them.
So it's a bit like counterfeiting pennies.
It's like... a lot like counterfeiting. Because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you'll lose specimens. They don't microwave them to de-age them. That's a thermal process. You can bake the fucking manganese right the fuck back out of it.
Throwing it in your conventional gas or electric oven.
Yeah. And one of the ways to figure out if this has been happening is because sometimes they just straight up start melting again. This is fucking dangerous. If you're getting a goddamn idea in your head like, oh, that sounds like a fucking fun science project, the only thing glass reliably does when it's reheated to a molten state is explode. You'll lose your oven and maybe your eyes. Don't mess with fucking glass.
Just enjoy it
the way it is. And this goes for microwaving glass, too. All of those urban legends you hear about, like, water reheating and exploding in your face, glass will absolutely do that. Glass is not a stable, like, chemical compound. It just wants to be on your windowsill and maybe have a water in it. But yeah, I really have to lean on that. The idea of de-aging these purple, like bright purple, because again, they're outside, bringing them back to their factory color. Don't fucking do it. Oh my God.
Like, would pretending for a minute it's not incredibly dangerous to do, would the money you make from selling these fake de-aged insulators even cover the cost of the electricity used?
Yeah, I mean, it would cover that, but you're not, like, I'm talking like a cap of like $50. The rarest go for, like, maybe 75. And that, I mean, if you're, I don't know, eating ramen noodles right now, that probably sounds like a lot of money. But in the antiques biz, it's considered small fucking potatoes for faking something. Because faking is a lot of work. And when I'm talking about doing this, it's not reliable. It's not you grab it and you know you're going to be able to get it back to this. It might not happen. It all depends on levels of chemicals that people, frankly, didn't understand even when they were putting them in. It was all, and again, it was industrial. These weren't carefully created, like, at a PowerPoint studio. They were fucking thrown in and out to serve a purpose. So none of this behaves predictably, which makes the idea that you'd fake it even more absurd. Because it's not a guaranteed result. the way fake staining wood is.
Or fake wine mixing.
Yeah, oh my god. Yeah, you gotta check out. If you haven't seen, what's the name of that? I'll tweet it out later. It's a documentary about faking wine. It is absolutely, like, captivating. You'll love it.
Wait, quick sidebar. Is wine antiques?
It can be. That could be a whole different, I'm not really gonna get into that right now.
Oh my god.
There are wine collectors.
Holy shit.
Of course.
Anyway.
And wine bottle collectors.
So we've learned how chemically glass gets faked and why it's a terrible, terrible, terrible idea to try it. How, as a layperson, would I be able to tell if the glass I am looking at is genuine or fake?
Well, you're going to have to start with what kind of glass you were looking for originally. When you're looking at colored glass, such as a Fenton, this can be tricky. Those colors tend to be bright and bold. I'm going to start with clear glass, number one thing. Any level of serious intensity. If it looks like a marker color or something your kid might use in a crayon, that's probably fake.
So the brighter the color, the more likely the aging purple is fake.
Yeah.
Because as you said earlier, the genuine aged purple is very faint and almost, like, very difficult to see.
Exactly.
So if it isn't difficult to see.
Exactly. If you're having no questions about it and you're not a seasoned eye, because I mean, it's kind of tricky to talk about this because it fucking sounds like I'm talking myself up here. I can find this shit like kind of at a glance because I'm used to it.
You've only been in the industry specifically working with smalls and glassware for 15 years?
Yeah, only that.
Only 15.
It's the fucking blink of an eye because I'm an elf.
Wait, what?
That's the lore. You're going to follow the lore. I'm going to talk more about being an elf on different. You got to piece it together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you have no questions about it, you should be suspicious at least. I mean, again, you're going to compare that to price. If the thing's fucking $300 and it's very purple, you might want to rethink saying, oh, this is definitely fake. But you do want to, like, keep your head in a fucking swivel. Most of the clear glass pieces that are solarized are very faint, too very pastel, even when they have a heavy load. Whenever I talk about fake antiques, you're going to hear this a lot. Consistency. Be aware of the consistency. If it is consistently purple all over, that's a bad sign. Things don't age in a consistent fashion. What you're looking for is natural variation all the time. And whenever I talk about fake stuff, that is my refrain. Natural variation is what you want to see. That's a clear good sign. Whenever things become too uniform or too symmetrical, it is a big red flag. When you're talking about tricky stuff like bright purple glass that might have been naturally bright purple and you're afraid that it's been faked, which that does happen, just a lot. Again, what you're looking for is consistency. But a lot of these people are just doing it out of their goddamned homes. They are not, this isn't professional. You'll be seeing, it'll be evenly baked on two sides. There'll be symmetrical patterns of coloration. Just keep an eye out. A naturally colored piece will not have that.
So in our jadeite episode, jadeite doesn't change color.
No, jadeite's slagged glass.
Yeah. So the way people fake old jadeite is, I believe you mentioned throwing it in the dishwasher to, like, chip and wear at it.
Yeah, faking wear is another problem with glass. Frankly speaking, antiques is fucked up. So when you're looking...
I would just like to quietly excise that soundbite from context.
Yeah, antiques is fucked up. When you see it, I mean, and of course, it sounds crazy because we always talk about value being perfection and all that. But the honest answer is that they're all damaged. So when people are faking things, like with the incredibly huge faked jadeite, you can't fake the color, but you can fake the appearance of age. Again, I'm going to say it. This is about consistency. An old piece that has notes of wear, they will be ground into the glass. I've seen pieces of jadeite where if you ran your thumb over it, would still cut it. Bad sign, red flag. That's a recent damage.
Also very red in that the blood will spill from your fingers after you cut it on the very sharp, big blood flag.
And again, that might be a recent break to an old piece, but it's something to think about. My number one thing for judging age is look at the goddamn bottom of it. No matter how many times you throw it in the dishwasher, it's not going to replicate the look of wear on the base of a bowl or a plate that you get from using it all the time.
Because you get those, like almost clustered, stacked scratches against the bottom of it from, like, sliding back and forth over tables for decades.
Yeah, and it's a really dense and, again, not consistent pattern of wear. And on even older pieces, if you run your thumb over it, it feels a little bit like it's been ground down. But it doesn't because it's not gritty, but I'm saying, like, it has, like, an uneven feel because it's just been worn from stacking and washing and plating. Again, this is a thing you're going to have to eventually develop a feel for. Really pay attention to what new plates, like, go to your fucking mom's house with her fucking IKEA shit and feel those plates.
How dare you?
Well, not yours. Specifically, God. Your sister, I don't know, your sister likes IKEA. No, she's into antiques too. Fuck. Anyway, go to Walmart, touch their plates, and don't explain yourself, look them dead in the eye while you're doing it, and then just leave. And then go to an antique store, a trusted one. Again, you're going to hear that come up a lot, right? And touch the plates there and feel for how wear occurs over a natural, like, hundreds of years, literally. Or even just 20s, 30s, 50s of years. All of these have an effect on the plate. Once you start noticing them, you will really get a feel for how it differs from purposeful wear. I have seen crazy shit. I've seen people take belt sanders to fucking stuff to try to replicate wear. It is always more even than they intend for it to be, because human beings kind of think about stuff in terms of symmetry when they're doing stuff on purpose. And not to mention, there's textural cues. If you touch something and it feels like it's been ground, it's been ground. You mind if I segue into porcelain?
Absolutely.
Because it's not strictly glass, but it's like glass, in quotes.
Tell me about the porcelain.
A crazing is a thing you can fake.
What's a crazing?
Oh. Crazing? Have you ever been to an antique store and you picked up a... Well then, get out of here. You're fired. The fuck? This is antiques freaks, not an antique freak and a guy who has no idea what to... talking about.
Let's pretend I've been to one of your antique stores and looked at this porcelain.
The porcelain. if you ever pick up a piece of porcelain and it kind of looks like it's about to fall into a billion little tiny pieces.
Oh.
Those, like, micro cracks all over the surface.
Like when you're peeling a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah. What? Were you making century eggs?
No. Like, you boil an egg and then you gotta crack the shell all over so you can peel it off and eat it.
Yeah, okay, yes, yeah. You are correct. It does follow those patterns.
Yeah, like,
that's another clear sign to indicate something's aged. Now, depending on what you're looking at, this may or may not be desirable. For most folks, it's considered desirable because it's a not, you think it's a non-fakeable way to display age. What that literally is the material crack breaking down underneath the layers of glaze. This doesn't mean it's compromised necessarily because the glaze is what holds the piece together. Don't fucking throw it in your dishwasher or I promise it will break. But there are chemicals you can use to fake. I do not know the specifics of those chemicals.
Probably for the best.
They're a little bit proprietary. I think muriatic acid is usually involved.
That sounds like a bad time.
They'll feel more fragile. It was done to an old piece because that does damage the integrity of the piece. Here it is again. Fake crazing is consistent. And it's been really popular. Like, I know Martha Stewart's got like 8 different things to fake craze glass and porcelain and all that.
Damn it, Martha.
There she is again, right?
Hashtag thanks, Martha.
Hashtag thanks, Martha. The fucking specter in my nightmares. I have seen these fake crazings. Early on, I was nearly fooled by them. They are uniform. You will look at it and there will be regular patterns. This is not acceptable. In real life, crazing doesn't follow patterns. There are bigger chunks and smaller chunks, and it looks very irregular and very natural. Fake crazing, because it is not a natural process, follows symmetry. Looks frankly fake. So just pay close attention to those little details. Again, if it is too consistent, it is a red flag. Mirrors. People fake age on mirrors. I don't fucking get this because that's basically like wanting your mirror to not be a mirror, in which case you could have done anything else on your wall.
No, but like, all right, I'm gonna come out here in favor of the aesthetic of the aged spotted mirror and how, like, it may make it easier to pretend you're a vampire
I'm
sometimes.
I'm gonna have a faint.
Because, like, maybe you don't want to be a person right now. Maybe you want to be a Victorian ghost, and it might be easier to do that if you had, like, a spooky, spooky mirror.
Listeners, I am about to faint. I am pulling up my fainting couch. Scree! That's me pulling it across the ground, and I'm fainting.
Creating uneven wear.
On the legs. Amazing. Scree, and I'm fainting because what the fuck? You know, I'm purposefully rendering this useless.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't make a mirror spotted, but if I found a spotted mirror, I would be excited about it.
Yeah, I was confused to find out that this was like an aesthetic thing because usually.
How?
Aged mirrors are undesirable because they don't function as fucking mirrors.
But you're the like second gothest person I know next to me.
Yeah, I don't.
How are you not on board with this?
I cover my mirrors in black velvet. I'm too goth.
No. That's just.
Well, I can't have the ghosts looking me in the eye.
Well, that's what the spots are for. The spots cover the ghosts. Are they there? Aren't they there? It's uncertain. That's what makes true horror.
Anyway, this is an easy one, I'm glad to tell you. Every single treatment to fake age a mirror is going to be on the surface of the mirror. You will be able to touch it, and it will be visually apparent that it is the front surface of the mirror that's been aged. An actually aged mirror, if you're a weird goth, and it's super important to you that you get an authentic one, happens on the other side of the glass. Antique mirrors are silvered from the back. You can't necessarily get to it without it being fucking completely obvious because the back will be scratched to shit. When they age naturally, they age between the layer of glass and the silvering, and usually the sealant on the back. And you can tell because you can't touch the things that look like they're chipping and flaking. When you throw acid on the front of a glass, well, I'm willing to bet you can touch that. Again, that's a place where muriatic acid comes in. If you want to do this to a new mirror, don't sell it. I'll find you. And just look on Etsy.
Also, new mirrors don't use silver to create the reflective surface anymore. Yeah,
no.
So you can't do it. But if you are a vampire, you can see yourself in a modern mirror.
Well, no, what I mean, like, if you throw acid on a modern mirror, it kind of looks like the silvered kind.
Yeah, but, like, it's not...
But an old silvered kind?
No.
And, like, they sell a special paint meant to mimic it?
That's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb, and again, all of these are surface treatments. You will be able to touch it and immediately know it's not correct. An actual aged mirror will just feel like glass. And with mirrors, you know, there's that tricky thing where you can see through it and see that the damage is in the back.
Or you can make your vampire friend stand in front of it.
Yeah, get your vampire friend, put them in front of it and say, can you see this?
Well, you'll be able to see whether or not they have a reflection. If they don't have a reflection, it's a genuinely old mirror with silvered backing. If they do have a reflection, it is a modern mirror without silver.
You're using this to just get all nerdy.
Well, because, like, the reason you can't, like, vampires didn't show up in mirrors for a long time is because silver is basically an anti-occult, like, raid spray. Real silver does have, like, minor antibacterial properties, which led to people believing it had magical powers.
Yeah, it was sterile, which made people think it was magic.
Yes, because fucking germ theory wasn't a thing yet. Yeah. So, they figured, well, if this makes fish not poison me, it probably makes vampires and werewolves go away, too. And they're like, well, vampires clearly can't see themselves in mirrors because we fucking coat those in silver. And then when photography first started becoming a thing, that was also silver coating on glass plates.
Silver nitrate.
So they were like, well, vampires can't show up in these neither, because, like, the silver just wouldn't capture them because it's vampire repellent. But with the advent of digital cameras and non-silvered mirrors, vampires can pretty much pass for normal in human society.
So I hope you fucking learn an important lesson about vampires today.
All of your friends are vampires.
Don't trust them.
No, do trust them.
They're out there, they're baking glass to make it a different color, they're fucking everything up in the industry.
Just try to keep very close track of how much blood you have in your body.
And how much glass you have in your collection.
Yes.
I don't know why I decided that vampires are all forgers.
Well, no, you absolutely addressed it because, like, a vampire will not show up in a genuinely old mirror. So if they have a fake old mirror that they can whip out and show their friends, see, I totally have a reflection, you guys.
Because if they splashed acid on the front, you can't see shit in it.
I'm assuming the vampires are all very good forgers because I've had centuries to get good at it.
Welcome to my vampire cast.
Are you telling me, like, if you were a vampire, you wouldn't devote your undead existence to mastering antiques forgery?
I would, personally.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay then!
Except that I wouldn't because I respect antiques too much. I would be an art forger.
But you would be corrupted by the vampire influence.
Oh my god.
You would work to destroy what you had once preserved.
That's not how that works.
It is on Buffy.
Anyway, this is over now. I've died.
And returned.
And yeah,
as an undead
monstrosity. It's impossible to tell that it happened because I got the big teeth. Like, there they are. Imagine them. I'm going, bleh, bleh. That's what happens when you get big teeth.
If you have questions about antiques forgery and glassware, you can hit us up at antiques_freaks on Twitter and antiquesfreaks, all one word, on Tumblr. Or if you just want to talk about vampires, I'm like 110% always up to talk about vampires.
Yeah, he's also on both of those platforms and you can hit him up about vampires whenever.
Yeah, hit us up about vampires.
Hey, you want to know a thing about vampires? I guarantee he knows.
It's pretty great. Vampires.
Maybe you picked up that he knows a lot about the subject. I do have a lot of hot tips about identifying fake wood furniture, so get ready for that.
Hell yeah.
Be covering that in a separate episode, I imagine.
For example, antique wood might be sharpened into a stake, which might pierce a vampire's heart and prevent him from rising from the grave.
Can vampires smell cedar?
My god.
I don't know, can they? I have fucking no clue. I just got this, like, worm in my brain that just suggested that vampires can't smell cedar.
Got a worm in your brain or got worm wood in your brain?
Bye.
Bye.